Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. We are back on the air after a very, very long weekend that actually did not seem that long. Hope you all had a great 4th of July. It is great to be back here in the seat talking about movies and TV and all the great things like music and comedy that bring us together. Great to have you with me on this Monday night, the first day in ordinary time until we reach Christmas, I guess. Because there's not really another big holiday.
Memorial Day? Is it Labor Day?
Labor Day. That's, you know what? Labor Day was always kind of a sad one because you were either going back to school. Like, Memorial Day was so much more fun.
Yeah.
As a holiday, right? When you're a kid. And even as an adult, I just think it's...
Labor Day is more of, when you're a kid, is just another day of summer.
Right. And if you have, like, if you're a Halloween enthusiast, I get that. I'm not. I don't mind it. I like watching people walk around in costumes and giving kids candy. That's kind of fun, but... We're never that couple where I've dressed up as the devil and my wife is dressed up as the devil's helper with the little tail and the horns. That's like where most normal people, that's a night for them to go out looking sexy, in my opinion. Do you dress up for Halloween, Conrad?
I can't say I have in a long time.
Long time? How long? Like grade school?
I'd say probably like my second year of college.
Oh, that's not too long. Yeah, that's like 5 years ago.
I mean, that's still pretty long ago.
Yeah, right. Still, I think Christmas is the next big... Thanksgiving, I should say. That's the next big holiday. So we got some time to kill between now and then. But great to have you with me. Conrad is running the board. He's ready to take your texts and calls after a long weekend of... Did you watch the Cats? You had to watch your brother's Cats, right?
Yeah, I watched the Cats.
How did that go?
Are
you their favorite uncle?
I think so, because I'm the only one.
It works.
I fed them.
I hope so.
And I pet them.
Okay.
And that's about it.
That's all cats need. Did you get to go out at all? Like, did you go out and party with any of your friends on the 4th of July or go watch fireworks?
Yeah, so on the 4th, I went golfing with one of my friends. And then later that night, we went downtown Appleton.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, I thought there'd be more people up, but there wasn't, so.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird holiday. I think the problem with the 4th of July, I think so many people day drink. I think they're done by like 9 o'clock. Like, they're lucky if they can make it through the fireworks, you know?
Or they just have a house party, you know?
Yeah.
Or they go up north, watch the fireworks on the lake.
What lake?
There's a bunch of lakes that do it.
Any lake, yeah, right. Yeah. We did that. I always say this year, I don't care about the fireworks. I've been there, done that. But you know what? It's hard. When everyone else wants to go, you just go. And it's fun to sit and talk while you're watching the fireworks. And we have a neighbor who does a great job with the fireworks. So we do them out over the water. It's fun. It was a good weekend. Lots of family in town. Ate too much, but got a few extra steps in. It was nice to have a day off. Wait a minute. You had a substantial vacation recently, so I'm not going to. I can include you in this.
Yeah.
I loved it though. I had 2 days off and, you know, we still put out an original show on Friday, which I think worked out okay, but it was good to have some time off. Played a little, we have a game called soccer golf in my little community that we play. Sort of, some people call it tree golf or kick golf, foot golf. We started it during COVID, because everybody has their own soccer ball. And we devised this course through our little community, which has like, I don't know, 50 or 60 houses. And it's an 18-hole course. So we kick the soccer ball and we have pars. And it's like, it's a really fun game. So we had a little tournament. And I was the winner of the first annual tournament in my community. But thank you, Conrad. My time at the top will not last long. My neighbor who's better than me, who probably wins 60-40, 65-35, he just has more power. He usually beats me. He wasn't there in the first round.
Oh.
So he got kind of a bye, and I used that to my advantage. I think he was a little rusty. So I did beat him, but then we let two other guys who are ringers and actual soccer players, they played in college, we let them play. And if they play for two more weeks, they'll be better than me. But they weren't. This is their first time playing the course. So I am proud to say that I reaped the rewards in the bedroom that night because I was the soccer golf champ. My wife was out of town, but you know what I mean. All right. So that was fun. I had a great weekend. It was great. Hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July and a safe 4th of July if you traveled or just stayed at home. Either way works. And we are back into the week now. This is fun. The box office went crazy this weekend. Despicable Me 4 crushed it with $122 million. I think 2 weeks ago, the box office was like almost 40% off of last summer. Now, in the last two or three weeks, that's been cut to like 15%. Like it's coming back, and summer blockbusters are finally putting butts in the seats at the theaters. So that's going on, and it's nice to see that people are going back to the theaters. Part of it could be the rain. We've had some rain this summer, but I think part of it is just good movies too. Did you see anything this weekend?
I watched The Boys.
What season are you in?
I only watched the first three episodes. I didn't get too far into it.
Season one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm too. I still haven't watched any since we had Jimmy on last week to talk about it. I got to catch up.
It's definitely got my attention now after watching the first three.
It's different. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's a really like dark comedy aspect of it. Like pretty dark. The first episode goes dark in like 2 minutes.
Right. And he's just standing there holding his girlfriend's hands and nothing else. It's crazy. But the violence is like so over the top. I don't like extreme or graphic violence, but in this film, in the show, it's so satirical. And it's just like, you just kind of go with it because they're superheroes too. That helps. But we've got a lot of movies to talk about. Rob Thomas will be here at 7:35. We'll see what Rob's watching and we'll have a discussion about the summer box office. Always fun to talk to Rob. Rob just became a U.S. citizen, which I think is really cool. He has dual citizenship now in Canada and the United States. And I had no idea Rob was Canadian. So we'll congratulate him on that. He does great work at the Capital Times. He will be here at 7:35. Then we've got a really cool guest coming up at 8:20. Norm Kapeski will be here. He owns the Appleton Cigar Company, and he's going to be talking about an event. He's going to be here in studio to talk about an event they're having in Appleton called Smoke on the River. And we'll talk to Norm about that. We'll get to know Norm. I love the idea of cigar smoking. You ever smoked a cigar, Conrad?
Yeah, I actually enjoy it.
I do too. It's kind of a culture.
Yeah.
And I'll tell my story when we get a little closer when Norm is here, but I'm excited to hear what he has to say and about this event. I think it could be really a fun thing. I think it's called Smoke on the Fox. Let me look that up. I might have do you have that handy? Where is that?
I had my
graphic up here.
Downtown Appleton.
Yeah, right? Smoke on the Fox. That's right. It's called Smoke on the Fox, and it's sponsored by Norm's Appleton Cigar Company. So Norm will be a fun guest. We will not stink up the studio too much with cigar smoke, if Todd Michaels happens to be listening. But we'll have Norm in here, and we'll answer all your cigar questions. Because I don't know, like, I've smoked them. I've never rolled them. I've cut them a few times. I don't totally understand how a humidor works. But I love the culture. I love sitting in the cigar shop. I've only done it a handful of times, but it's really fun. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. That's at 8:20 tonight. And tonight's question, bringing it back to movies, this seems to be the season of the natural disaster. We've had some tornadoes in Wisconsin. Twister is right around the corner. So our question tonight on Nightlight is, what's your favorite natural disaster movie? Or what's the best natural disaster movie? I got to be honest, I don't love natural disaster movies. I watch them sometimes, but I find them a little hard to believe. I'll tell you a bad one, San Andreas. You ever see that one, Conrad?
With The Rock?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did watch that, yeah.
That was unbearable. He's like, he gets separated from his family and he's flying around the helicopter and he sees his daughter in LA, this humongous city, and he picks her up. It's like, what? It's so ridiculous. It was such a bad movie. And if I remember correctly, it was about 2.5 hours long. Just bad. And I want to, I wasn't a fan of that, but there was another one I saw years ago with Sylvester Stallone called Daylight. And if I remember correctly, at least I started out really liking that film. Viggo Mortensen's in it. He plays kind of a cool character who's like an extreme sports guy, executive. And it's all about them getting out of the subway. I remember that as being a really cool movie. But we'll read some of yours. But before I decide which one I like the best, I need to see some suggestions. I got a couple lists here in front of me, but I don't want to cheat too much. I want to hear what people have to say.
Sharknado.
Sharknado. Yeah, that's got to be up there, right?
I don't think it actually should be up there.
Never seen it? Proud to say?
Oh, you've never seen it?
No.
Then, yeah, don't watch it.
Yeah,
it's worse than San Andreas.
I think I missed that train. But let us know what your favorite natural disaster movie is. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. This is National Video Game Day, National Freezer Pop Day. Lots going on in the world. We got birthdays today. Sylvester Stallone turns 78. Or is it 79? I think our sheet is 1 day or 1 year behind. That
one
source
year.
We use? Is it 1 year?
No.
Well, it wouldn't be a day.
Just our sheet is just 1 year behind.
Because sometimes it interacts with Todd, or it overlaps with Todd's, and his people are always a year older. So I don't know who's, I don't know. Sylvester Stallone's old. Let's just put it that. Kevin Hart is 45 or 46. He's at the in the throes of middle age. Kevin Bacon turns 65. Tom Hanks turned 67 over the weekend. We have a couple of Forrest Gump clips we might get to. Big releases on this day. Well, there were a few. Forrest Gump, I think, came out today. Anchorman. We got tons of clips, folks. But we got great guests tonight. A good question. I got to talk about the movie X that I saw over the weekend. I saw another great film called We Grown Now. Loved it. And we'll do all kinds of stuff. You must have been happy, Conrad. Did you hear the Cub broke his hand?
Yeah.
Hitting the wall. Brilliant. And I'm going to share, next, I'm going to share Kristen Cavallari's taco recipe with all of you. It's great to have you here on Nightlight with me and with Conrad. And it's great to be back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ringo Starr, one of my favorite post-Beatles songs, and it's by Ringo Starr, who I don't even think wrote a Beatles tune, and he's kind of like the guy that, he's still a Beatle, but he's kind of the guy that you joke about, but that's a great song. He turns 84 today. I'm sorry, on the 7th. He turned 84 on July 7th. We should add that to the repertoire there, Conrad, for the intro and outro music. He's like the guy that people make fun of. And Lennon and McCartney are widely considered the most popular, or not the most popular, the most talented Beatles and the driving force behind the band. George Harrison, his solo stuff post Beatles, in my opinion, better than Lennon or McCartney's. And that, at least that one song by Ringo, I love it. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite natural disaster movie? Sadly, we've had some natural disasters here in Wisconsin already this summer. Twister will be released soon and be in theaters. So we're asking what your favorite natural disaster film is. Let's go to the text. Sherry says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Hey, Sherry, how are you? She says, Twister was intense. I like Jodie Foster. You know, it's been so long since I've seen Twister, I didn't even remember that Jodie Foster was in it, Sherry. But I'll take your word for it. Christy Barleman says, I have a sticker for your new car. Ah, good luck finding it, Christy. Christy runs City Deck Landing, and I used to park right behind her car, and she would vandalize my car every night. When I would go, there'd be a puppet hanging from the mirror or a piece of tape or something. Very immature. So Christy, I've got that waiting for me. She says, Ed's dad's birthday is August 28th, and so is my dad's. Kind of crazy, seeing as though Pete and I, and Christy and I also share the same birthday. March 28th, we tried to put a parade together. It did not materialize. You know, we didn't have enough time. I think next year we'll do it right here in downtown Green Bay. Conrad, take a memo. We gotta make a kick butt parade.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped the ball on that.
Well, this year, you know, it's you have time to redeem yourself. You've got almost a year before I turn 39 again. Good to hear from you, Christy. We have some text here. The question, once again, your favorite natural disaster movie. That's the question of the night. Robert from McFarland says, sorry, I love natural disaster movies. I have a top five. I love it. The Day After Tomorrow, Greenland. All right, I'm adding Greenland to my list. I have that in my queue or on my list. That's one of those movies with, not Javier Bardem. What's the guy's name? He's in like every disaster movie, or they're trying to kill the president. What's that guy's name, Conrad? Do you know?
I don't.
Gerard Depardieu. No. We'll find out. Twister and Deep Impact. Look at this. Robert's got a top five. The Day After Tomorrow, Greenland, Twister, and Deep Impact. That's four, actually. I love imagining how I would survive these situations. I'm not someone who has a bunker, but I'm prepared. Please elaborate. Oh, man. I'm not prepared. Someone comes into my house. My hands are technically lethal weapons. Did you know that, Conrad? They're registered with the FBI. Nice. Just because they're great hands, not because they...
They're quick.
Well, they're okay. They're just perfectly proportioned. I take care of my nails. Steve from Florida says, best, the original Poseidon Adventure starring Gene Hackman, 1972. I would have to, as so often is the case, I agree with your dad, Conrad. I think... Gene Hackman, that scene where he is trying to turn he's trying to turn off the water pressure, but he's like hanging from it. And he plays a priest in the movie. Gene Hackman is great in everything. He says, my first dramatic movie that I went to the movie theater and with my brother and dad at 9 years old, Worst, The Perfect Storm, a very depressing ending. I did not see that one, but I'm with you. Poseidon Adventure was just outstanding. Although I have not seen it in years, I do wonder how it would hold up sometimes. From the 920, Jim in Appleton says, I thought Ringo wrote Octopus's Garden. He might have. Can you Google that, Conrad? Octopus's Garden. I don't know that song, I don't think. Tom from New Berlin says, Helen Hunt, Twister. Yes. That's right. It was Helen Hunt. Sherry, unless you were talking about Jodie Foster from something else. She just said, I like Jodie Foster. That didn't necessarily mean she thought Jodie Foster was in Twister. I like Jodie Foster too.
Yeah, it's written by Ringo Starr.
Yeah, okay. Sherry says, I agree, The Poseidon. Christy says, I saw The Exorcist recently in my hometown of Marinette with her boyfriend, Ed the Diver, and said it was horrible. Well, Christy, I'm not sure what you expected. The Exorcist is an awful thing to watch. It's just like the most depressing thing in the world. A, that could happen. B, that people think that could happen and they have to perform these rituals. And I know there are some in real life that actually do these things. But yeah, dear God, why would you want to watch that? I can totally see how that would be horrible. Russell Crowe is in it, so I assumed it would be decent, says Christy. Yeah, he's great. Sherry says, oh, yeah, I like her, too. I think she's talking about Jodie Foster. And Tom from New Berlin says, Jodie Foster fan. Me too, Tom. Great text. Keep them coming. What is your favorite natural disaster movie? What's the worst? You could share that, too. As you know, with anything on the show we're talking about, you are welcome to chime in. It's so much fun when you guys participate. And Conrad's anxious to take texts. He watched
As
cats.
Always, yeah.
He watched Cats for 5 days. Not the movie, actual Cats. So he is ready. Do we have time for a Kevin Hart clip?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the Saturday Night Live one. I love this. This is Kevin Hart on his birthday doing stand-up here on Nightlight.
Tonight on Shark Tank. First in the tank is Brian McShay.
Greetings, Sharks. and Lady Shork. My name is Brian McShay, and I am here to offer you a revolutionary business opportunity.
Why don't you tell us what your product is, Brian?
Okay, check it out. Thomas Edison, inventor of the light bulb. He dreamed big, but did he dream too big? What if your light bulb is too bright? That's where my invention comes in. Teresa.
And what am I looking at here? I don't understand.
This is a lamp with sunglasses.
Oh, I guess I did understand that.
Well, here's the best part. The name of the company, We Put Sunglasses on Lamps Crafters.
Wow. Wow, all right, Brian. Well, have you done any research? Is there any market for sunglasses on lamps?
I have, and there is not. But let me run the numbers, you know, for you. Okay. One, the age of my son, okay? Billions, the number of collection agencies after me. Okay, here we go. 69. Give it up, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Brian, how much money have you spent on this so-called company?
A mere 50,000.
What? Voice, where did you even get $50,000?
Long story. Rich widow. Did what I had to do. Not proud. Mostly just a companion. Went down on it twice.
Who's the voice of the woman in that clip?
It was Kristen Wiig.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Somebody told me about the Tiny Hand skit they did years ago on Saturday Night Live with Kristen Wiig. Did you ever see that?
I don't.
It's
oh,
a
yes,
visual.
Yes.
She has these really little hands.
Yes.
I wish it was radio friendly. All right. Coming up next on Nightlight, we're going to talk summer blockbusters and all the movies Rob Thomas has seen and all the movies I've seen. You won't want to miss it. Join the talk. It'll be fun. 8:20, some cigar talk here on Nightlight. Lots of fun tonight. Great to have you with me. This is Pete.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Schwabba.
So, Robert's giving me some attitude tonight. He says, I'm not going to show you my cards, Pete. And number five, Jaws, natural monster creating a disaster of people's summer movie. Jaws is a good one. How funny was that Richard Jenny bit we played last week, Conrad?
That was a good one.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The family goes to Florida to get away from the shark. The shark shows up. He has beat the jet to Florida. Steve from Florida says, Helen Hunt starred in the original Twister. Correct, Steve. Yes, thank you for the assist. And thank you, Robert. That's a great list, too, by the way. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite natural disaster movie? Please share, and we will share. 8:20 cigar talk here on Nightlight. Our first cigar guest. He says he's going to geek. His name is Norm. He says he's going to geek out on cigars, and I cannot wait because there's a lot I don't know about cigars, even though I like cigars. Let's find out how our next guest feels about cigars. He joins us now via the stream all the way from lovely Madison, Wisconsin. He's the Capital Times entertainment reporter and a frequent flyer here at Nightlight, Rob Thomas. Rob, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. I understand that congratulations are in order for you. You are What's a that? New, I had no idea you were even Canadian.
Yes.
Tell us everything. You're a new U.S. citizen. That's fantastic.
That's right. Yeah, I moved to America from Canada when I was 14. And just, wow. You know, for like some reason, like I was like, oh, I'll just keep re-upping my permanent residency every 10 years. And then this time around, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not going back, you know? Like, I have an American wife, I have American kids.
You're
I
trapped.
Don't spell color. I'm trapped. I don't spell color with a U anymore. You know, like, I'm an American. So.
You might as well stay because you dropped the
That's
U. That's great.
Too hard to learn to spell it, yeah. And it was great. It was really, you know, quite cool and moving. It was, once you take that initial application, it's not that tough a process. It took about 6 months, which is faster than I thought, quite frankly. I thought it'd be a couple of years. Huh. That test they give you, you know, that citizenship test,
yeah,
was not too bad. I think it was like 6 questions.
Oh,
I aced them. Yeah,
well done.
Yeah, it helped that I saw Hamilton. That helped with one of the questions. and then last week at Centro Hispano here in Madison, they had a nice like outdoor ceremony. The irony was that it was July 1st, which is Canada Day. So
yeah,
I was celebrating Canada Day by relinquishing or becoming the citizen of another country. So, but yeah, it's cool.
That's great.
I'm very excited to vote finally and not sit in the sidelines. And
yeah. Are you, was there any question on the test, Rob, you struggled with, or did you know that, like, did you ace it?
I think I aced it pretty well. The only one that I gave me pause was like, why do different states have different numbers of U.S. representatives, which I think I knew, but just the way it was phrased gave me pause for a second. That was like, oh, it's population, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then on the sample test, there was one involving the Federalist Papers, which that was the one that Hamilton saved me on, but that one didn't come up. But then the other ones are literally like, you know, who assumes the president's duties if he's incapacitated, which is, you know, I think we've all seen
the local mayor, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I remember when Jay Leno, before he hosted The Tonight Show, he used to go on David Letterman, and his appearances were so great because he was still just Jay Leno, the comedian.
Right.
And he was a brilliant comedian. And he did this skit in Chicago where he went around and asked people questions that were from the test you took to average American citizens. And he said if they flunk it, they're deported. So you would have them loaded onto a van and deport them. It was such a great skit. How's your summer going, Rob?
It's been good. Yeah. I mean, you know, the weather's kind of, you know, we got more rain than I would like, but I'm sure the farmers are happy with it. And it feels like finally the summer movie season is kind of going kind of a slow start. Yeah. I think my modest proposal is that we start the summer movie season in the summer.
Yeah.
Rather than the thing where we started like the first week in May. I don't think that's working anymore. I don't think so. Wait till like Memorial Day and then have a proper summer movie season.
I kind of get excited for summer movie season like I do with Christmas. Like the day after November, I'm that guy. I'm playing Christmas music. I love it. Same thing with the summer box office. I think to me, it officially kicked off with Roadhouse, you know, which wasn't even in the theater. I was like, right. Oh, this is going to be great. And then I didn't really like it. And then I saw Fall Guy and I was like, eh. And I'm kind of like a microcosm of, I think, how everybody feels. And I got excited when I saw Inside Out 2. I just loved it.
I completely agree. I saw it yesterday with my daughters.
And I was a little tell me what you thought. Yeah.
Well, they're teenagers now. So they're older than, I think, the girl in the film.
Okay.
But like what we had seen the first one together when, you know, what was that, 7, 8 years ago? And I was a little skeptical because sometimes these Pixar sequels don't really live up to the original.
Right.
But I thought it was great. I thought it was brilliant the way they sort of illustrated the teen or preteen mind through all the different little characters and aspects of her brain and stuff. I thought it was great. I'd be very happy if they just like, okay, in 10 years we're doing, you know, Inside Out 3 when she's just graduating from college or you know, whatever it is. I think they're really smart about it. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had, like, since I've been doing this show, I'll like try to, like, if something's coming out, I'll try to see the precursors, even though I didn't see them years ago. Like, I didn't have any reason to see Inside Out the first time. My kids were a little older, but I saw it and I liked it. I saw it 3 days before I saw the sequel. And then I went with my daughter, who is 19, and we loved it so much. I had tears in my eyes at one point toward the end. Absolutely. There when they were all watching her. And you just wanted her to succeed. And it was just so... And it was one of those films that's better than, in my opinion, much better than the first one, which was a pleasant surprise, too.
It was more complex, I think, in the emotions. Yeah. And as somebody, I have to say, as somebody who sat through so many episodes of Dora the Explorer when my girls were little, like right. the send up of that with the forgotten kids TV character and his psychic Pouchy, that I love that so much. That was so funny to me. And I honestly like, I like an animated movie that is bold enough to not have a villain. Like there are struggles going on, but like there are a lot of them where like, well, we got to have a bad guy, so let's try and have, you know. But like this was like, there's not really a villain,
right?
You know, which is pretty, I think, pretty daring, and it works out really well.
That's really interesting. That's a great observation. I'm telling you, I loved it so much, and I love that. I think because kids today, based on, you know, whatever, what I've read, deal with anxiety on a much bigger scale than we ever did when we were younger and we were playing outside and we didn't have social media. So it was really cool to see anxiety play one of the characters in her head, and just some of the messaging that came through with that. I just think, I just hope every kid gets a chance to see it, and every parent too.
Yeah, no, it definitely resonated with my girls as well. That they, you know, yeah. It was illustrating something that they had gone through, or, you know, everybody goes through, but in a very, very fun and sort of sensitive and, you know, everything's going to be okay kind of way.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like yeah. Well, very cool. Okay. So let's talk about I'm trying to get Matt Eisman on the show. He's the host of American Ninja Warrior, and he was the host of a show I wrote on called Sports Soup. And I had him interviewed him previously on the radio, but he's even more busy now. So I have to send a follow-up email, but I really want to get him on the show to talk about these twins from Madison that you wrote about. What can you tell us about that?
The twinges. Yeah. Nathan and Marquez, Green, I think their last name is, I could be wrong about that. Okay. But these guys are like 24. They're sweet guys. And they've been doing this is like their fourth season. They started when they were 19, and it's kind of funny because they've kind of grown up with the show in a way. Like they said, the first year, they just want to beat their brother. That's all they wanted. They beat their brother. They basically won, you know, won the thing. And then as they sort of matured a little bit, they're much more about like enjoying the experience and like, you know, they want the other guy to succeed. So they're both in the semifinals, which I think their episode is in 2 weeks. I think I've got that right. Yeah. They're just very cool, very grounded, very cool guys. They do a lot of work with cancer charities because their mom passed away when they were 14 from breast cancer. So they do a lot of camps with kids who have parents who have cancer, and, you know, they just seem very, very cool. The one thing was I could not tell them apart during the interview. Like I went back on my tape. I was like, okay, which one said this? Which one said that? Cause they really are identical. They said usually one of them wears glasses, but he had broken them and has never gotten them fixed. So that was tough. But they're, yeah, wow. Really great guys.
Yeah. Easy guys to root for. It sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's another, I love Sean Penn as an actor. Why, I only made it halfway through your review. I don't know. I got distracted, but how did Daddy-O not quite hit the mark in your opinion?
Well, I think it's the script. I mean, it's him and Dakota Johnson, who I think is an actress who I think is kind of polarizing. Like,
yeah, she is.
Madam Webb was not well received. But I think she can be good at things. Like, and they're both good in this, but the whole movie is like basically 100-minute taxi cab ride from, I think it's LaGuardia, New York, to Manhattan. She's the passenger, he's the old cabbie, and they have this conversation back and forth. So that really, you really got to have a good script to keep people's interest for that long when, you know, you're in one location. And to me, the script was just very cliched, and there are moments where you can see the two of them like kind of transcending it and finding something interesting, and then it kind of pull back into it. So, you know, interesting experiment, and I can see why it would draw two big names like that, because it's not that often you get a acting challenge like that in the movie. But I found it kind of disappointing, to be honest.
It's interesting. She not only, I didn't see Madam Web, but it seemed like she kind of threw people under the bus for that too, which I don't think is cool. It's like, okay, you made a bad movie. Everybody makes them. Just suck it up and move on. I really liked her in Cha-Cha Real Smooth. I don't know if you saw that, but that was kind of a sweet film.
That. She's great in that.
Yeah, right. She is. Yeah. She's got a lot of talent, and she's a Nepo baby, you know, Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith. So she's got the genes. But I did lose a little respect for her when she kind of, I don't know, threw people under the bus for the.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Did you see the Tom Hardy movie where he's driving to a job? He impregnated someone who's not his wife, and he's driving to be with her while she gives birth.
And yeah, I think it's called Lock.
Yes, Lock. Okay, and that whole movie is just him on the phone in his car, getting a call. Yeah, he gets a call from his wife, then the mistress calls him. It wasn't even a mistress. It was like a one-night stand, and he's still trying to go there and help her give birth, and then the foreman of this job site calls him. I mean, I didn't love that, but I thought for what it was, they did a pretty good job.
I found that one pretty riveting, actually. I saw the theater, and I think I really went in not knowing much about it, like certainly not knowing it was literally a one-man show.
Yeah.
And it was the kind of thing where there's just one complication after another. And like, I don't know where that, it must be on streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
Locke, Locke, I think, cause I think that's his name.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I'm trying to think of other movies that would just be a car ride like that. I mean, that's pretty.
Day Trippers maybe from like,
that's interesting.
Not, a lot of it's in the car. I don't remember quite how much, but it's interesting you say that because Locke was even a bit cinematic in the sense that they use the lights of the expressways kind of creatively and the shadows. I did get a little claustrophobic, but I did like it.
Well,
I
absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Rob Thomas is my guest. He is the entertainment reporter for the Capital Times in Madison. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him about the bike riders, which you just wrote about, Rob, and what you're seeing on TV. So we'll have more with Rob Thomas coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself phoning her at least 10 times. From the 608, Aunt Carla says, The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, that's a natural disaster movie. And she says, Hi, Pete and Conrad. This show is kind of like a tornado tonight. Thank you, Aunt Carla. Jack from Merrimack says, Favorite disaster movie. How about a classic, Titanic? An iceberg is definitely natural. Jack from Merrimack. You got that right, Jack. No question about that. I feel like that's, well, it's definitely a natural disaster. And based on a true story, historical fiction. So you can't argue with that at all. Robert from McFarland says Dakota Johnson is drier than 12 grit sandpaper. I don't even know what that means. Rob, do you know what that means?
Is it a compliment? I mean, she has a dry sense of humor. I don't know if that's meant as a compliment. But yeah.
I think, and I don't want to speak for Robert, but she's not charismatic necessarily. She really does underplay things.
And I kind of like that though.
I do too.
But yeah.
So maybe that was a compliment. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll hear from Robert.
I hope so. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Not too late to get in on tonight's question. What is your favorite natural disaster movie? Let us know or text us on the app. Very easy to use. If you haven't downloaded it, you should. Rob, do you have a favorite natural disaster movie?
Twister is the first one that comes to mind. I think the new one looks pretty good. I don't know. We'll see. Comes out. It's not this week. I think it's next week. I just remember seeing that movie in the theater, 1996.
Yeah.
It was so loud. I mean, the tornadoes were so loud. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
If we're saying natural disasters, I mean, would Jurassic Park count then? I mean, the dinosaurs are natural.
Yeah. Right? Sure.
Okay.
I would count those. I think, and someone, Robert also said Jaws. Do you remember a movie called Daylight? It was Sylvester Stallone and Viggo Mortensen was in it at the beginning, at least.
That's the tunnel.
The tunnel collapses. Lincoln tunnel
that collapses. Yeah.
Yeah, and I honestly can't even remember what caused it to do that. I just remember it was a natural disaster movie, and I thought it was kind of cool at the time. And it was Sylvester Stallone. And I probably went into it with low expectations because of that. But I think I remember really liking it.
There was a real fad in the mid 90s for like natural disaster movies. Like there were two volcano movies, like Volcano and Dante's Peak. There was Twister. There was Daylight. I don't know what was going on.
Deep Impact. Armageddon.
Yep, that's right. Asteroids.
I said San Andreas was one of my least favorite. I just thought that was such a bad movie with The Rock.
I missed that one.
You're better off. So let's talk about my guest is Rob Thomas. He's the entertainment reporter for the Capital Times, joining us here on Nightlight, as he often does, and sharing his insights about movies and TV, which is always fun. Rob, The Bike Riders. I saw it as well. I really want to hear your take on this.
I really liked it. I was a little surprised, quite honestly, because it's like, it's not something where I'm like, oh, I really want to join a biker gang. It's never really been my thing.
Right.
Or even ride on a motorcycle. But it's like based, I guess it's based on this book of photographs from the 60s where this guy, Danny Lyon, was embedded with a Chicago biker gang. And like, what's great about the movie is like, it has so much detail. Like,
right.
The visual details of like all the guys and even just the environment of like the Midwest in the 60s, like the way people talk, the way, you know, the bars with the glass brick windows.
Yeah.
The cars, the bikes, of course, the accents. And I think it was shot in Cincinnati. So, you know, they're using real locations, not Chicago.
You could tell it wasn't Chicago. I thought it was Pittsburgh, actually, but you're right. It might be Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah. At least it wasn't CGI, let's say. And I guess I was reading this article where, like, you know, the costume designers were like, we want to make these people smell. Like, you know, you want it to look like you know how they smell. And so it was kind of like I said in my review, like, it was almost like an anthropological thing to, you know, this long distant time and place, you know, this whole thing is, you know, this movement of biker gangs is, well, I guess they're still around today, but this was the heyday. I thought it was really cool. It didn't really have much of a plot, but I was fine with that. And I thought the performances were really kind of lived in, a lot of really good character actors and little parts like Michael Shannon.
Norman Reedus, what was that? Oh my gosh, talk about a guy who anybody could have done that. That was just so bizarre seeing him in that role, so small.
I think I saw an interview with him where he didn't show anybody all the makeup and like the grody teeth he had until he rode up for the first scene. And like, and I don't know if people even knew he was Norman Reedus, who is sort of a sex symbol from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And he's so like, he's quite a disgusting but memorable character in that movie. It makes the other guys look like hunks.
Well, it made Austin Butler look clean cut. That was my one issue. Like, I thought everybody looked really gritty and Tom Hardy looked gritty. I thought he was doing his best Marlon Brando impression.
Sure.
But it worked. And, but then Austin Butler is just kind of handsome, almost a little too fresh looking. Like, I would have liked to see a little more dirt on his face or under his fingernails or something. But Jodie Comer was really good too.
Yeah. There's tapes of the woman she played because her accent is really strong
in
the way that some people are like, but like, she actually nailed the person. It's like, it's a Chicago accent from like the 60s that you just don't hear anymore. I mean, the way people have changed the way they've talked. I thought she was really good. But even just the faces of all the guys, they just did such a good job making you believe you were back in 1966 I really liked it.
It was like a who's who in gritty character actors surrounding the main.
Yeah. It's like just a collection of mugshots, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I liked it too, but in these little bits I do, these Hollywood beats I do for Civic Media here, I said it was like, if you have ever been part of a bike club or rode a motorcycle, you'll love this. For me, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I'm kind of with you. I liked looking in that world, and I thought they captured it pretty well. Hey, Rob, can you hang for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Rob Thomas is here tonight. So much fun whenever Rob is in town, as it were, the new American citizen. We're happy to have him on the show. This is his first appearance as an actual American citizen. I have some more questions for Rob coming up, and then we're going to talk cigars at 8:20. What is your favorite natural disaster movie? Let us know on the text line if you would. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.